Hey y'all, I'm Carrie.
Hey y'all, I'm Mandy.
And this is Monstrous. This episode contains topics and language that may not be suitable for all listeners. Topics that may be triggering to some. Listener discretion is advised. Right. Imagine. You got your imagination cap on, Mandy?
Got it.
Okay. You stand there in the dark, a tiny flame in your hand. The air presses in, cold and damp, and you feel it. The weight of a story a century old. This isn't a place of quiet history. It's a place that remembers. Every legend has a source, a whisper that becomes a story, that becomes a ritual. For generations in Niagara Falls, that ritual has taken place in a dark, unlit tunnel near Warner Road. People come here, stand in the middle, and try to light a wooden match. They believe a ghost will blow it out. They believe they will hear it. The piercing, terrifying scream of a young girl. They say she was burned alive right there over a century ago. But what if the echoes you hear aren't just a ghost story, but the unclaimed memory of a crime that was never solved? Is it a haunting or a cold case? On today's episode, we're peeling back the layers to find the truth buried beneath the stone. This is the legend of the Screaming Tunnel.
Ooh.
Yep.
I haven't heard about this one.
I was Googling some stuff trying to find some episodes for this spooky season. It just happened to pop up. And I was like, oh, that's a good one.
Nice.
Yep. So the tunnel itself sits off Warner Road. It's tucked behind farmland, a place that you could drive past 100 times without noticing it. This limestone passage, about 16 feet high, was carved beneath the old Grand Trunk Railroad line in the early 1900s. At the time, it wasn't mysterious. It was simply a practical way for farmers to move goods and livestock safely beneath the tracks. Its 125-foot length made it a notable landmark in a time when the railway was a powerful symbol of progress. Now, to understand the tunnel's legend, we first have to understand the world that built it. Back then, Niagara Falls was a quieter, rural place, a landscape of scattered farms and small settlements like Chapapua and Niagara-on-the-Lake. This was a time before paved roads and automobiles were common, when neighbors were a day's walk away and a trip to town was an event. Life was rooted in the land, a cycle of planting and harvesting, a world where families relied on each other, especially in times of crisis. Fire, in particular, was an ever-present danger. Wood stoves, kerosene lamps, and dry wooden buildings made every home vulnerable. Which, did your family ever use the wood stoves or kerosene lamps?
Kerosene lamps.
Yep. Papa had kerosene lamps. And at one point he had a wood stove. We used to go back and help him chop the wood
for it. Aww.
Yep. Johnny and I did when we were little. Yep. That was always fun.
Oh, I bet.
And then he got an automatic one where you just put it on there and then you push it and it splits it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
All right. Anyway, in these isolated communities, tragedy sometimes happened without ever being officially recorded. If a fire broke out on a secluded farm, it could be a family's private, silent nightmare, and the loss of life might never make it into a city newspaper. The Grand Trunk Railway, while a symbol of progress, also brought its own hazards. The steam engines threw sparks, which frequently ignited nearby dry fields and brush, adding yet another layer of risk to the local landscape. The railway was a lifeline, but it was also a source of constant danger, a steel artery cutting through a world where even minor accidents could become fatal. Historical records show that several farm fires in the Niagara region claimed young lives between 1895 and 1910, though none are officially linked to this tunnel. As the railway faded and the area became quieter, the tunnel aged. Portions of the Grand Trunk Railway were abandoned by the 1950s, leaving the tunnel to weather silently. Its stone walls grew damp, moss clung to its corners, and the shadows gathered in spaces light never reached. And as often happens with abandoned places, stories began to grow. Standing inside, the world feels swallowed up. Every sound bounces unnaturally. Footsteps echo as if someone else is walking behind you. At night, darkness doesn't just surround you, it presses in. Even during the day, locals who grew up nearby will tell you that kids were warned to stay away. Some whispered of a girl who screamed. Others said the tunnel itself was cursed. Either way, it became a place adults marked as dangerous, a place where imagination thrived. The story most people know begins with fire. In the early 1900s, a young girl allegedly ran screaming into the tunnel, her clothes engulfed in flames. Some say it was a farmhouse fire. Others claim her father locked her inside. A few versions even suggest a violent attack, her screams echoing through the tunnel until she died. Alternative legends have emerged over the years, though. Some say her father set her on fire during a custody dispute, while others suggest she was assaulted and then burned to conceal the crime.
Holy shit.
Right. Regardless of which story you hear, they all end the same. A girl dies and her screams become eternal. But what if the screams weren't the result of a fire at all? Local historians and old family accounts suggest an alternative, an equally tragic origin alternative. Some say the tunnel was a place a local woman would go to find release from a tumultuous and unhappy marriage. When the fighting became too much, she would leave her home and go to the tunnel, where she would unleash a torrent of anger, frustrated screams into the darkness. Over time, these cathartic cries became part of the area's lore, a different kind of tragic echo in the stone. This version of the story presents a different kind of horror, a silent, domestic one, where the only outlet for pain was a lonely, dark tunnel. From this tragedy, whether real or imagined, the ritual grew. You stand in the center of the tunnel at night, strike a wooden match, and the story says the flame will go out, not because of wind, because of something unseen has blown it out. And when that happens, the scream will follow, sharp, sudden, and impossible to ignore. This tunnel story is not an isolated one in the region either. Niagara has a long and storied history of folklore. The well-known legend of the Maid of the Mist, for example, tells the story of Lilawala, a young Seneca woman who was supposedly sacrificed to the gods of the falls. While modern versions of the tale are often romanticized, the original indigenous story speaks to a more complex cultural relationship with nature and the supernatural. The region is also home to other purported haunted sites, from the battlegrounds of old Fort Erie to the historic Laura Secord homestead. These tales of specters and unexplained phenomena show that the Screaming Tunnel is part of a broader and shared regional fascination with the eerie and the unknown. But this phenomenon isn't just a Niagara thing. In fact, you'll find similar legends of screaming tunnels and crying bridges all over the world. In Japan, there's the Kaiotaki Tunnel, said to be cursed. Visitors report here ghostly figures, distorted time, and the screams of those who died during its construction. Legend says the tunnel, built with forced, unpaid labor, is haunted by the spirits of those who were worked to death. Many who drive through it report their car's engines stalling or the unnerving feeling of being watched, while others claim the tunnel's length changes mysteriously at night, trapping you inside. In the United States, as we've mentioned in other episodes, there are countless crybaby bridges that carry nearly the same ritual as the screaming tunnel. You stop in the middle, wait in silence, and you'll hear the faint cry or scream of a child. The stories vary from bridge to bridge, but many involve an unmarried woman who, in desperation, threw her baby from the bridge into the water below. And now the infant's cries can be heard on a dark night. The legends like the one in Niagara often lack official documentation, but they persist through generations of local folklore and daring late-night visits. These stories, separated by continents and cultures, reveal a shared human instinct to explain grief and fear through sound and through echoes that refuse to fade. They are a testament to our universal need to give a voice to the voiceless and to find a lasting memory in a physical place. This universal instinct to attach fear and grief to physical places extends far beyond tunnels. Across the world, crybaby bridges, haunted forests, and phantom roads all share a similar story, a tragedy that leaves a lingering emotional stain on the landscape. This is the heart of what folklorists call emotional topography, the way that the human mind maps feeling onto a physical space. Now, just a few hours' drive from Niagara Falls in a small Ontario town called Onprior, there's a bridge that tells a story very similar to the Screaming Tunnel. It's known as the Screaming Bridge of Onprior. The legend says that an unmarried couple fleeing their disapproving families drove off the bridge in a horse-drawn buggy, plunging to their deaths in the Madawaska River below. I feel like I said that wrong. Sorry. It's spelled weird. The story claims that if you park your car on the bridge and turn off the engine, you will hear the couple's faint and terrified screams. The wind will then suddenly gust and the cold air will fill your car as if a spirit has just passed through it. The stories have... Right. I'm sort of like... The stories have no official records. No newspaper articles from the time mentioning a tragic buggy accident. However, the legend persists, told and retold by local teens and paranormal enthusiasts. The shared ritual is an act of memory, a way of keeping the legend alive. It is a story that has survived because it touches on universal themes, tragedy, trauma, curiosity, and the human fascination with the unknown. The scream, whether real or imagined, exists in the minds of those who venture there. It's a testament to our universal need to give a voice to the voiceless, and to find a lasting memory in a physical place. Now, to truly understand the fear that fuels a legend like this, you have to look at the other dark corners of Niagara's history. While the Screaming Tunnel story lacks official records, the reality of life in the early 20th century was full of tragedies that did go on to go unsolved, or worse, were never properly investigated. The same isolation that made a farmhouse fire a silent nightmare also made it easier for people to disappear for crimes and for crimes to go cold. For example, if you look across the river to the American side of Niagara, where in 1915, a local landowner's grisly secret was unearthed. A new property owner named Leo Boholihan was digging a cellar on his new farm when he made a horrifying discovery. 6 human skeletons buried beneath the ground. 5 were adults, and 1 was a child. All of their skulls were pierced or split as if they had been struck by a sharp object, and their leg bones had been broken so they could be crammed into their shallow graves. The man who had owned the property before was a reclusive and unstable figure named Eugene Butler, and he had died 3 years prior. Neighbors remembered him complaining about how much his housekeepers were costing him too much money, but no one suspected that they would end up dead. Without him to question, the case remains one of the most notable unsolved murder mysteries in the region's history. And these victims were never identified.
That's wild.
Yep. Just 6 skeletons. Nobody knows who they are.
That's crazy.
Yep. And yet, even the Eugene Butler case, as horrific as it was, had a trail of official records and police files. A far more common and even more unsettling reality of that era were the tragedies that were never investigated at all. In the isolated communities of rural Ontario, disappearances and deaths could simply go unrecorded. Consider the story of the Lost Boys of Welland, for example. In 1908, two brothers, 8-year-old Thomas and 10-year-old William, were walking home after a long day of working with their father on a farm outside of Welland. They were sent ahead to light the lanterns in the house, but they never made it home. Their father returned to find the home dark and empty. The boys had simply vanished. A search party was formed, but without any modern technology, the effort was disorganized and fruitless. They found nothing but a lost cap belonging to one of the two boys near an irrigation canal. But the water was low, and a search at the banks yielded nothing. The local police chief, a single man with no modern forensic tools, eventually gave up, concluding that the boys most likely fell in and their bodies had been washed away to the strong currents of the nearby Welland Canal. Their family was left with no closure, no answers, and no bodies to bury. The case became a family legend, a cautionary tale that had been passed down through generations. People whispered that the ghosts of the lost boys could be heard crying out for their father on misty nights near the canal's bank. The voices a faint echo of a tragedy that the public record had long since forgotten. But their story was never officially recorded as a crime. It was a private grief, a silent loss swallowed up by the landscape, just like the story of the girl in the screaming tunnel. It was a time when tragedies weren't always investigated or solved. They were simply a sad fact of rural life. The Niagara region, with its vast farmland and powerful waterways, was a place where life was hard and the lines between legend and history were easily blurred. Farmhouses were miles apart, and a lack of communication meant that a tragedy on one farm might not even be discovered until weeks later. A family's loss was their own. The idea of a formal documented investigation was a luxury that many isolated communities simply did not have. For every high-profile case that made a local paper, there were countless silent deaths, quiet disappearances, and personal horrors that were never recorded. A historical gap that leaves a space for imagination and fear to fill in the blanks. The Screaming Tunnel's legend isn't just about a ghost. It's about a universal fear that a person could simply vanish and be completely forgotten, their story an empty space waiting to be filled. Across Canada, the justice system of that era was vastly different. Records were often fragmented, especially for rural and transient populations. Police forces like the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were still developing their modern investigative methods. Homicides in isolated areas were often treated as a local matter. And if the victim was a person of no consequence, so like a hired farm hand, a passing traveler, or a girl from a family that had no voice, their death might not even make it to a town newspaper, let alone into a police file. So while we search for the name of the girl in the tunnel, we're doing so in historical context where names were sometimes deliberately forgotten or simply lost to time. The idea that a private tragedy could happen here and be swallowed by the landscape is not just a spooky story. It's a very real possibility born from the era itself. This kind of unsettling historical reality is the soil in which a legend like the Screaming Tunnel takes root, blending the facts of the time with the fears of the community. So here's the puzzle. No newspapers from that era mention a farmhouse fire that killed a child. No police reports, no coroner's inquests. Researchers and local historians, including the Niagara Falls Public Library, have found no official documentation of any such tragedy. As ghostwalks.com notes, we found no historic record of a farmhouse fire or of anyone burning in the tunnel, end quote. These findings suggest that while the story has captivated generations, it is likely a product of community storytelling rather than a documented event. Its story, its ritual, and the weight of generations of fear make it singular, an enduring symbol of both folklore and human fascination with the unknown. And even Hollywood noticed this. In 1983, David Cronenberg filmed scenes for The Dead Zone inside this very tunnel. The film's psychic protagonist navigated tragedy and danger, was found a perfect backdrop in the real world legend of the Screaming Tunnel. Today, the tunnel is a different kind of place. It's no longer just a forgotten piece of railway history. It's a pilgrimage site for a new generation of believers, thrill seekers, and the very dedicated ghost hunters out there. Teenagers have dared each other for decades to do this very ritual. Paranormal investigators record EVPs, they take photos, and measure electromagnetic fields. Even skeptics admit that the tunnel feels strange, as if it's almost alive. One investigator described it as this, quote, "You stand there, waiting, listening, and you feel the air press down on you. You strike the match, and before you realize it's out, you swear you hear something, high and distant, like a cry. But it's gone before you can prove that it was ever real."
That's wild.
Visitors have reported, right? Visitors have reported cold spots, shadows moving around the walls, even the feeling of a small hand brushing against theirs. A teenager who visited with friends once said that she felt her hair lift as though by a phantom wind and heard a faint sobbing echo from deep inside the tunnel. A man visiting in the winter described stepping on ice at the tunnel entrance, and as he slipped, hearing a wail that seemed to rise from the frozen stone itself. Local lore adds even more tales. Teens seeing a small figure dart across the far end of the tunnel, hearing two sets of footsteps when they were clearly alone, or the feeling that someone was breathing down their neck on a foggy night. Even wildlife seemed to play into this legend. Owls and raccoons have been mistaken for cries, adding layers of ambiguity to the entire experience. Paranormal investigators have made the Screaming Tunnel a very popular stop on their collective circuit. They don't just light the matches, they bring the whole arsenal of equipment, from the digital recorders to capture the voices, to the EVPs, to the electromagnetic field detectors, which they believe will catch the spirit's energy. One of these seasoned investigators, a woman named Brenda, who had been to the tunnel many times, recounted her own unnerving experience. She was there with a team on a moonless night. The air was so still that it was said you could hear the distant buzz of traffic from the highway. While they were setting up their cameras, a sudden cold spot formed directly in front of her. The temperature in that very small area dropped by more than 15 degrees, and she felt a presence. And she described it like this, quote, "We were trying to get a baseline reading, but the K2 meter kept spiking in one specific spot. I knelt down to ask a question, and I felt a tiny cold touch on my hand. It was quick, like a child's finger, and then I heard it. Not a scream, but a soft, high-pitched sobbing as if a little girl was crying nearby, just out of sight. I asked her name, and the sobbing stopped, followed by a sudden, angry gust of wind that blew my hair across my face."
That'd be creepy.
Right? No, thank you. But the tunnel's spooky ambience isn't just for investigators. Like I said before, wildlife seemed to play into this legend as well. Owls and raccoons have often been mistaken for cries, which adds to the experience. But for every chilling account from a ghost hunter, there's a more grounded perspective from the people who live right next to the tunnel. For them, it's not a place of mystery or folklore, but a constant source of noise, litter, and vandalism. A local resident who asked to remain anonymous has lived in a farmhouse nearby near the tunnel for decades. He told us that the, quote, "haunting has become a modern-day nuisance." He said, "Every weekend, there's a new group of teenagers out there with beer bottles and spray paint. That the graffiti changes every few months, new tags are spray painted onto old ones, and it's always a new message, but ends in the same result. They come for a thrill, and they trash the place." He says there's no ghosts, just a bunch of kids making a mess. He added that he's never once heard a scream, but he has heard plenty of rowdy parties and car horns at 2 a.m. He and his neighbors are the ones who then have to clean up the garbage that these teens leave behind. So this modern day reality presents a new disheartening chapter in the legend. The once quiet, abandoned tunnel has become a canvas for urban art and a hub for thrill seekers, showing how the fascination with the supernatural can sometimes overshadow the real tangible history and the peacefulness of a place. It's a contrast between two worlds, the romantic, terrifying ghost story and the messy, mundane reality of life today. So, could a real tragedy have been lost in time? Possibly. Fires were common in rural Ontario. Some folklorists believe that the legend isn't a record of one death, but a reflection of all these fears and losses, a collective grief that has manifested into a story of one single girl. Dr. Aline Matthews, who's a folklorist at the University of Toronto, notes, quote, stories like this often preserve the emotional memory of communities, even when factual records vanish. But that isn't why the story has endured for as long as it has. Because even without records, the narrative resonates with the universal fear. The sound of a child screaming, the helplessness of being trapped, and the eerie echo of trauma carried through stone. It's the sort of fear that lingers, unclaimed by fact, yet persistent in memory. But there are also some natural explanations to the tunnel as well. So tunnels distort sound. Psychologists call it expectation bias. But let's delve a little deeper into the science of why this might be the case. So the acoustic properties of a stone tunnel are very unique. Any small sound, such as a drip of water, rustle of leaves, or even the distant whistle of a train that hasn't run in decades, can be amplified and warped by the echoes. The hard limestone walls act as a natural amplifier, bouncing sound back and forth in a way that can make it seem to be coming from everywhere and nowhere all at once. So when you walk in expecting to hear something, your brain is primed to interpret every unfamiliar sound as a ghost. This is the heart of the expectation bias. The mind is a very powerful thing. And in a dark, isolated place like the tunnel, fear magnifies every sensation, every shadow, and every breath. A simple air current can sniff out a match. But to a person expecting a supernatural event, it can feel like a phantom breath. The tunnel carries a presence, a weight in the air felt by generations of visitors. Some describe it as a cold hand on the back, others as the sensation that someone else is standing nearby unseen. On foggy nights, the tunnel seems to swallow the world outside of it. The crunch of leaves and branches on the path leading up becomes unnaturally loud. The smell of wet stone rises with the mist. It is a space that seems to remember. Even the pervasive smell in the tunnel has a natural explanation as well. So some visitors report a lingering, acrid smell of smoke. But this too has a non-supernatural source, according to scientists. Local experts have noted a strong lingering sulfur smell, which is a known geological property of the area's bedrock. This stinky tunnel theory offers another way to ground a seemingly supernatural experience into a perfectly natural but still unsettling reality. So the Screaming Tunnel today is both a piece of living history and, in a sense, a victim of its own fame. Its walls are often covered in graffiti, and the path leading to it is often littered with beer bottles and other garbage left by thrill seekers. So perhaps this is why it endures. Because people don't look to science. People look to the paranormal. And legends like this persist because they help us remember the unspoken, the lost, and the frightening truths that history alone cannot hold. In the end, every legend has a source. Sometimes it's history, sometimes it's tragedy. And sometimes it's just the human need to believe that places remember, even when people do not. And yet, despite all this, the true story of a girl, if she existed, still remains unknown. No one knows her name. No records confirm her death. And the mystery, in a sense, remains unsolved. leaving space for the imagination, for ritual, and for fear to fill in those gaps. With that, one fact is known, though. Whether the tunnel was truly haunted by a murdered young girl, or if the legend is based on natural phenomena, the mystery still and will always remain. So, if you ever find yourself near Niagara Falls, take a step into the tunnel, strike a match, listen, and maybe, just maybe, you'll hear it. The scream that time forgot.
I've never heard of that one.
Me neither. I thought it was a good one.
It is. That's wild.
I thought it was a fun one before we dive into the next episode.
What's the next one?
We're heading back full force into the true crime of it all.
Ooh, should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty messed up.
Is it really?
Pretty grotesque.
Ooh, nice.
Yep, so everyone will have to be prepared for that one.
Right.
Yep, because that's a... It fits with spooky season. Because it happened in October, so it fits, but it's of the true crime nature.
Sounds like you'll be good.
Yep. But that's it. That's all I got for today's episode.
Alrighty.
All right. Nice little short one. Give you a pre-true crime-esque before we dive back in. For the next couple episodes. So that's it. Thank you guys for joining us for this episode. Please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Those give us new listeners. If you've had your own unexplained experience, we'd love to hear that. So you can find our contact information, Facebook link, all of that in the description. And then until next time, we hope you keep listening. Stay curious, stay spooky, and always remember to
watch for monsters.
And don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.